Live from Liverpool, we don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Okay, guys, we are back. Hooray! It's another episode of We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. Apologies for the 2 days that we had off. However, there is good reasons that we just took that time to recover. And we've just explained all on the Patreon podcast. Let's just say we had a little guest, and we'll say no more than that for the time being. However, we do hope that you're all well. You may be able to tell by my voice that I'm a little bit tired. Becca, are you tired?
A little. I think I'm all right.
Really. You think you're all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in our free-flowing chat that we just done, because when I say free-flowing chat that we just done, we don't tend to go into these, we don't need to talk about ghosts, with an idea of what we're going to talk about, and it kind of just evolves. So, within our last chat that we've just had, Becca reminded me that she's got a degree in philosophy. Haven't you?
Yes, I did.
And where did you get that from?
University of Greenwich.
The University of
English
Greenwich.
English and philosophy, actually.
English and philosophy.
Yeah.
And you got from the University of Greenwich.
Yes.
And Greenwich is the place where we get time from, isn't it?
That's right. The start of all time.
Greenwich.
You're all welcome.
Mean time.
That's right.
And when did you get that degree?
A few years ago.
And is that your master's?
No.
What's your master's?
My normal degree, undergraduate degree.
Oh, an undergraduate degree. Saying that because, you know, I don't even have A-levels.
I'm not saying that because you literally said, is that your master's?
What's your master's degree?
No. The TESOL, Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages.
Do you want a medal?
No, why are you asking me this and then sleeping before it?
I know, yeah, I'm just trying to be an arse. Sorry, I'm succeeding. But
postgraduate qualification as well. Do you want to start on that also?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Let's leave qualifications at the door. Spelled okay. D-Y-O-R. So I thought what we do today is we talk about that philosophy degree, because there's something that there's a little a philosophical, not thought experiment, but I suppose it kind of is. There's a thing called Pascal's Wager, isn't there?
Yes.
Now, as I understand Pascal's Wager, it's a religious debate, isn't it? It's on the argument of the existence of God.
Yes.
And it falls into four choices. And the four choices, or the four outcomes, are this. If you believe in God...
Yeah, so there's two options. You can either believe in God or not believe in God.
Yeah. And then the other two outcomes is that God exists and God doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, and either you're right or you're wrong. So you'll have one belief or the second belief. You'll either believe or you won't believe. And in both of those cases, you'll either be right or wrong.
There's four outcomes, isn't there? So in outcome one, you believe in God and God exists. Therefore, what that means is that... Sorry, we...
Distracted
very easily.
Go on.
So in the first option, you believe in God and God exists, right?
Yes.
And therefore, you've gained everything because you're not going to go to hell for being a non-believer because God exists.
Yeah, okay, so if you're right, so let's say you believe, right?
Yeah.
If you're right, God exists, then brilliant. Everything mm-hmm. you've ever thought is coming true. Fantastic. Eternal heaven.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And if you're wrong...
Yeah, but this is the point. I'm going through the different ones.
Yeah, I know, but you're better off doing them if you believe the two options than if you don't believe the two options. You started off with just one, as if you can do four
separate
things.
Would you let me do it? This is why you're not on all the time, honestly. God. So, option one, you believe in God and God exists. So you win everything, basically. Option two, you believe in God and God doesn't exist. Well...
No, I'm done.
You haven't lost anything because God doesn't exist, so you can't be punished. Option three, you don't believe in God and God does exist... In which case, you go to hell.
Eternal damnation.
Or option four, you don't believe in God and God doesn't exist. In which case, you've lost nothing.
Yeah.
So out of those four boxes of outcomes, you're best believing in God. Because if he does exist, you've won everything. And if he doesn't, you've lost nothing. Whereas if you don't, there's
a
chance.
You're risking eternal damnation.
You're risking eternal damnation. Now,
it's like a pros and cons list, isn't it?
Yes, but it's much better than that, I've found. Mm. So then I started to try and extrapolate that into everyday decisions a month or two ago. And it got a bit scary. So, for example, I started to think, like, you know, because my mental health can be up and down, can't it, in terms of, like, being happy or sad and miserable and anxious and stuff.
Yeah. Usually
not,
the latter
two. Not in a woe is me by any stretch, but it can be factual. So, therefore, I started thinking, well... Should I just try and... Because I'm a very pessimistic person by nature.
Very pessimistic.
And I've always argued that by saying... Well, the reason for that is if you start at the bottom of the mountain, no matter how high you get up, you'll accomplish something. Which is a fair enough statement.
Mm.
But it also means you're going to forever start at the bottom of every mountain, where you may be more than capable of starting halfway through. Anyway, so then I started to think to myself, should I just be optimistic all the time? No matter what, in the face of adversity, in the matter of things not looking good, should I just be optimistic that things are going to go right? Or not even that things are going to go right. So basically, I thought, in fact, yeah, let's hear with that. So I thought, should I be optimistic that things are going to go my way and I'm going to have a good day? And I applied Pascal's wager. Mm-hmm. So using the same things, I was like, right, if I believe I'm going to have a great day and I have a great day,
woo-hoo,
fantastic, the world's my oyster. If I believe I'm going to have a bad day, I mean a good day, there you go, natural pessimism.
Yeah.
If I believe I'm going to have a good day and I don't have a good day, then I was not going to have a good day anyway. You know what I mean? All I've lost is the belief I was going to have a good day.
Yeah.
If I don't believe I'm going to have a good day and I do have a good day, then I've gone up. It's a bonus.
Yeah, but also you've robbed yourself of the good feeling at the beginning of the
day. Yes, yes. You've missed out on believing that you're going to, of enjoying the fact that you're going to have a good day.
Yes.
Until it happens at the very end.
Yeah.
And if I don't think I'm going to have a good day and I don't have a good day, you just go on a further slope.
Yes. Because believing you're going to have a bad day before your day even starts, that's detrimental to you, to your mental health then, isn't it? Because you're going with a negative attitude, negative thinking. That in itself is negative.
Yeah. So, basically, when you look at the two optimistic and the two negative, pessimistic. So, if the two optimistic, if I think I'm going to have a good day, and I do, brilliant. If I think I'm going to have a good day, and it turns out that I don't, I'll have still lived 90% of my day thinking, no, it's all right, this is going to work out well.
Yeah.
Whereas, looking at the other way, if I think I'm going to have a bad day and I don't, I end up having a good day. I'm going to live 90% of my day thinking I'm going to have a bad day. And just so happens, something makes me, at the end of the day, go, no, that was all right, that. So I've not enjoyed the day.
Yeah.
And if I think I'm not going to have a good day and I don't have a good day, again, I'm still not enjoying any of that day. So I'm better off believing that I'm going to have a good day.
Yes.
Because if I do, brilliant. If I don't, I've still lived 90% of the day up till when I've made a judgment at the end of the day.
Yes.
That I'm going to have a good day.
Exactly.
So therefore, Pascal's wager would say you're much better mental health-wise to believe you're going to have a good day. And that's just simple facts then.
Yeah.
That's black and white.
It can't
be disputed.
Logic,
it's just logic, yeah. And I work well on logic. So then I started to apply all sorts with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I going to be a famous musician? And again, the same sort of thing applies. If I think I'm not, I'll do less. And then if I do, brilliant. But I would have had a miserable existence up until that point. But there's a very low chance of that because you're not thinking that. You're not going to do much about it. If I think I am, I'm going to do more. And if I am, then brilliant. If I think I am, I'm going to do more. And if I don't, I'll still have a life full of creativity.
Yeah, and you'll have at least known that you've tried everything you could.
Exactly, yeah. If I think I'm not, and I don't...
Then you never will.
Then if I think I'm not, and I do, but it's going to just be by chance. And that'll be brilliant, But I won't have enjoyed the journey to get there.
If you think you're not and you don't, you'll always partly blame yourself for not doing all
for not
you
doing,
could.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So again,
and also you'll have deprived yourself of all the creativity that you enjoy, because you enjoy the creative process, it's not just the end result.
Exactly, so again, apply Pascal's wager, and it just seems like...
You'd be like a new man.
You know what?
When are you going to put these things into practice?
I actually thought, I'm not. It's a load of bollocks.
Ah, what?
No. But I did think, you know what? A better man than me would make this into a great book, a great self-help book. You know, just like in terms of applying Pascal's wager to everyday situation.
Why don't we apply it to that decision about writing a book? If you think you can write the book and you do, brilliant, you're going to be a published author.
Yeah.
If you think you can and you don't, no one done, but you've still written a book, even if it doesn't get published. If you think you can't, well, I mean, you can't really...
You can't think you can't and you do.
Yeah, but if you... Yeah. Okay.
But if you did, it'd be shit, because you haven't wrote it.
Yes. But then if you think you can't and you don't, then again, it's similar
to
the
music.
Yeah, you'll know...
Yeah.
It's a similar thing with the music, you'll have...
Yeah. I can see it now in the smart thinking section. The smart thinking section of Waterstones, it'd be like, why applying Pascal's wager can benefit you immensely. By Kevin John Eustace.
Well, I think first of all, before you start writing the book, you need to do the briefest bit of research, which is just putting these things into practice in the everyday. So how I've just said to you then, so when are you going to start? And you've said, I'm not. Like, I think you need to start doing it first of all.
Good blow compression there.
How applying Pascal's wager changed my life. You know, like
yeah.
That. You could be a motivational speaker. Do you know what they get paid? They get a killing.
Yeah. They get paid in pounds.
On the
circuit. No, it's very good. Very true. But you know what? The first chapter almost writes itself, doesn't it? It's like, why you're reading this book is...
Yes. And I could certainly vouch for the... You know, when you get off on the stage and you'll be like, no, I wasn't always like this. I used to be quite negative. I can really vouch for the negativity and the...
Yeah,
the pessimism
that's good to
I've
know.
Had to live with for the past 8 years.
Imagine that, like in a crowd full of people. I go, I used to be a dick. And you go, woo, yeah,
he
did.
He really was, yeah. Really misery personified.
That's my partner over there, everyone. That's my partner.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Winnie the Pooh? It was like Eeyore.
It wasn't like Eeyore at all. It was like an emo.
Yeah. By all means.
Emo or? No, it just doesn't.
Yeah, so start applying it. Start applying the principle of Pascal's Wager to your everyday life.
I should. So, Pascal's Wager aside then, oh, philosophy degree woman. Are there any other wagers or philosophical thought experiments that either I, nay, the listeners, could apply to their lives to improve? And if so, why aren't you writing this book?
Well, I don't know about the applying it to your lives to improve. You see, you've taken an extra step there that I haven't had time to prepare this. Pascal's Wager, you like discovered what that was a little about it and then took this extra step yourself. I don't know about how you apply these things to your life.
But can you name another thought experiment or similar sort of...
Well, we briefly touched on the trolley problem. Do you want to talk more about the trolley problem?
Yeah, but that was... Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we did talk about the trolley problem. I'm not too sure how... We did discuss how the trolley problem can be extrapolated into a very scary film. Which it could be.
Yeah.
This was just on the Patreon one, so if you listen to the Patreon...
I'm not going to repeat it.
But in a nutshell, the trolley problem is that you can either drive a train full of people off a cliff, or you flip a lever and...
No, so a train is about to go off a cliff.
A train's about to go off a cliff.
You can drive it. Okay, so a train's about to go off the cliff, and everyone in it will certainly die. You can let that happen, or if you switch a lever, it will go to a different track, but that will end up killing two workers who are currently working on that track. And it's whether you do it or not. Cause some people would argue, like from a moral standpoint, do you? Some people would argue that you should because you'd be saving the lives of everyone on the trolley, which outweighs killing the other two people.
Yeah.
But then the other hand is that you're directly responsible for killing them, or are you directly responsible for killing them? Because otherwise, if without your interference, they would be fine.
So you can what I said, and I won't repeat it in depth as I did, but... You can extrapolate that into a scary film by having a demon who said to someone, either you go and kill the next person that you meet, or I'm going to kill three.
Like, what would you do?
What would you do? But what a premise for a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to know the director's cut of that, where you hear how I describe the footage and how it'd be shot, then you do need to go to Patreon and listen to that.
Now, the issue with Pascal's Wager, though, well, one of the issues, I think, is that how it's saying... Yeah, just believe, like, because you kind of may as well. I feel like that's not what faith is. I feel like you can't come to a logical thing with faith. Like, I couldn't... Obviously, I'm not a believer right now, and I couldn't just logic my way into true belief. That is it still belief? And I think the answer is no. If you're only doing these things and saying these things and believing these things for an end result.
Well, being the Roman Catholic that I am, as I seem to touch on more and more these days, but... I'll tell you, I've got a first-hand account of what faith is from my experience. Okay. And I know this is what faith is.
Okay.
And it's really easy to describe. What faith is, in my opinion, is I am a Roman Catholic, right? I know as human, and it's counterintuitive, I know as human historical fact that Jesus Christ was a normal man, right? Wasn't divine.
Mm-hmm. Mortal.
He was a mortal man. His divinity was voted on by the Council of Nicaea. Mm-hmm. You can check this as all historical fact. There was a council from other faiths. Catholicism said we need, you know, it wasn't even Catholicism then. The Council of Nicaea said we need to put someone as our figurehead. Should we make him divine? They took a vote and said, yeah, Jesus Christ is now divine. It was a group of men in a room voted on his divinity.
Probably rich white men.
Well. Probably rich white men, yeah. And I know that as fact. I know that as absolute fact. However, I still believe that Jesus Christ and the story of Jesus Christ, etc., is factual.
You can't believe both.
This is the thing. This
no,
is what
you can't
faith
believe
is.
Both.
This is what faith is. Is that
is that not just that you want to believe the latter, but you can't? If you know the former to be true, you can't believe the second.
No, ER. Do you know that this is a really, as you'd be grown used to, a really shitty analogy.
Analogy.
Right. Let's say who. All right, let's say, think of something, not me, obviously. Think of someone that you love. But think of someone that, like, you know, that it's an obvious, unspoken, like, the way that they make you feel warm inside at the thought of the face.
Can only be you.
Oh, you. Okay, well, I didn't want to go down with me, but all right, this is the way we're going. So, no, it can't be with me because And you're the sort of wrong person to have this conversation with. But let's say...
No, because this analogy is just going to be terrible, so...
It is going to be terrible, and I've just said that. But let's say, for example...
So what I'm saying is it's not worth anyone's time.
No, let's say, yeah, for example...
Michael, why don't you do it with someone you love?
Okay, right, well... I can't because it feels utterly wrong. But, okay.
Okay, then don't, right? Then just skip to it.
No, my point of it is, you can look... The dichotomy of the feeling and what I'm saying, where you say you can't have both. Oh, you know what? Is a perfect one. There's a wrestler called Chris Benoit, right? Pound for pound, one of the greatest wrestlers to ever walk the planet. Nice. Chris Benoit murdered his wife and kid and then murdered himself, then committed suicide.
Nice.
And rightly after that, the WWE, the wrestling company, never mentioned him again. He's literally been wiped from the annals of history. Although he had some of the most standout WrestleMania matches of all time. Mm-hmm. And in truth, he's got as much right to being arguably within the top five technical wrestlers of all time.
Okay.
So he's a great of the ring. Now, it's absolutely abhorrent what he done. That's without doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in a right frame of mind? You'd argue absolutely not. And there's all stuff that claims that there was reasons why he'd done it due to medical deficiencies and all this. However, I can look at his body of work as a wrestler, aside from that, and hear stories from his comrades and his colleagues about how that wasn't him and how he was a really nice guy and, you know, he was very genuine, sincere. And I'm kind of all right in my brain seeing two versions of Chris Jericho and believing them both
Jericho.
To be... Not Jericho. That's because Jericho's just in a...
Got careful there, slander.
I know, yeah. No, that's because Jericho's just done the narration on an episode about Chris Benoit and about this very thing. Chris Jericho's one of his best mates, to be fair.
Okay.
And he'd done it really well. But this is my point, is that I'm satisfied in my own head of having two versions of Chris Benoit. There's the abhorrent version, which I know is true. But then there's also the version of him as an amazing technical wrestler and hearing all the stories about from his colleagues and his friends and his family about how much of a wonderful man he is that I also know is true and completely factual. Now, somebody looking from the outside in could say you can't have them both. You can't believe both of them as facts. One decision, one fact should outweigh the other. So because he's murdered his wife and kid and then himself, you in your mind should then be completely twisted to say he's a horrible man.
But see, I don't think that is a direct analogy to what we're talking about with faith, because you can believe that good people do bad things, and you can believe that someone who, for the majority of their life, has been like good and wonderful, and then, I mean, the likelihood here, it sounds like he suffered some terrible mental health breakdown, doesn't it?
Really? Well, yeah, allegedly it was chair shot after chair shot after chair shot.
And you can believe, you know, you can. So I think that's. That's why it's not the same, because you can believe that he was a good man, and it doesn't mean that because he did this awful, horrendous act due to influences that we don't know, it's not to say that throughout the whole, 30, 40 years that he was alive, that any of that was a lie, or that, you know, that he was a bad person throughout all that when you've seen otherwise. I don't think that's the same. But when we're talking about what you were saying earlier about the Council of Nicaea, if someone has... if you know for fact that these things have been made up by man and voted on, then you can't also believe it really happened. I think that's... there's a difference there.
There is a difference, but exactly. But that's what faith is. I do. And that's why I'm saying it's a really easy thing for me to explain, because I know that the level of bewilderment it will put in someone else.
Well, that kind of almost supports my point, though, because... So let's say I die tomorrow and I get up there to St. Peter. Let's say I just decided, by the way, by Pascal's wager. Yeah, probably for the best all around, I believe. They get up and like, right, so you were a believer? Yeah, why were you a believer? Oh, Pascal's wager, because it's just you're just probably better off being a believer, aren't you? And it's like, so you didn't actually like...
Oh, no, there needs to be. There needs to be. Belief.
You can't just like say, I know this would be to my benefit, so I probably should believe, and therefore believe. I think you can't make yourself believe
by
logic.
No, I completely agree with that.
So I think that's part of the problem with Pascal's wager.
But it is part of the problem with the wager.
And also, so two things. One, that's the first. But then also, even if you do manage to convince yourself, even if that logic does somehow transfer into belief, surely it doesn't count if it's only for personal gain.
No, I would disagree, because the thing is, what you would say is that when you look at the Pascal's frame, if you like, the four boxes, and you say, I'm going to go with belief, and therefore if there is a God, that's fine.
Mm.
By accepting the fact you're now going to believe... Unless you're only cheating yourself by not going all in with that belief. And if you're going all in with that belief, do you know what I mean? Or like, get back to the optimism point. If I look and say, I'm going to be optimistic that today is going to be good, And if it is a good day, then I've won all around. Right? Yeah. I'm not saying to myself, I'm going to pretend that I'm going to be optimistic all day. I have to be optimistic all day for that to warrant
a result. Yeah, I know, but that's kind of partly what I was saying in the first instance, isn't it? You can talk yourself into being optimistic without a doubt. Like,
yeah, and you can talk yourself into being a believer.
But can you talk yourself into being a true believer? Can the logic truly make you, like, actually on a deep level, spiritual level, believe?
I don't know.
And I don't know that. But then, secondly, if it's only because you made a logical decision based on an outcome for personal gain, which is eternal heaven, can't they just say, like, well, that doesn't count?
Well, no, I don't think they can at all, because I don't think, I mean, I'm getting on my religious high horse here, but I don't think that there's a, I don't think they would look back and say, like, if you walk through the door, a black belt in karate, they're not going to say, hold on, you only started doing karate because somebody offered you a tenner. They're not going to, like, what I mean is if you walk into the gate
it's
of heaven...
It's not the same, you're no. so rubbish at analogies!
But I mean, if you get to the...
It's infuriating!
If you get to the gate of heaven as a believer, they're not going to say, ah, but looking back here, you only done this initially so that you'd
right, no, okay, but, like, think about the good place. Like, they say, okay, so let's say I did loads of charitable acts. Right, okay, let's say I was diagnosed with cancer tomorrow and it's a year to live, and in that year I did loads of charitable acts. But really, it was only because I freaked out and thought, hang on, heaven's really, I found this out. I need to make sure I get in. So I only did it so that I would get into heaven.
I don't think that that's a thing, though.
What do you mean that's what do you
I
mean?
I don't think that's a thing.
Of course it's a thing.
But also,
did you even watch The Good Place? No,
yes, but that's on a programme. I'm saying, it, like, it, let's say if that was your motivation, though, then you believe. You're now a believer. If you're not doing it, this is the point I'm trying to get across. Something fundamentally has changed within you if you're now doing charitable acts to get into heaven. You're not at that point with a year to live saying, I may as well do this just in case. Because if that was your outlook and you wasn't 100% believer, if you were 100% believer, you'd do that. If you wasn't and you were just 50-50 in it, you wouldn't do
so
that.
So you think that by doing the acts, it's kind of proof enough that you are a believer?
Yeah, completely. Because you would not just... No one would do that continuously with the last year of their life if they didn't believe that it
I know, but that's going back to the first point. But the second point is that if you're only doing these things for personal gain, whether or not you're a believer, does it mean that you don't get in because the charitable acts almost don't count because your motivation wasn't right? Your motivation was selfish.
Well, no, but this is where it falls down. Because... Specifically with religion, that's where it falls down. Because even if your initial act to believe is selfish, by believing, you're then buying into the rest of lack of selfishness and you're going to do things for others. So that would eradicate itself.
But you're almost saying here that belief is the only checkbox in order to get in.
No.
And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you've got two things here. And you've got the belief to get in, and can you convince yourself, like, can a logical conclusion transfer to real belief? But then the second one, which isn't to do with belief, it's to do with if you're doing these acts, that, like, belief aside, if you're doing these acts for a selfish reason, does it still count as being a good person?
Yes, because it's chicken and egg, really.
If you're doing a good thing for a bad reason, you're still doing a good thing?
Yeah, and also I think the thing that you're doing changes you as well. Okay. So, yeah, this ties in somehow, but I'm not sure how. Yeah, I remember this stuck in my head. I told you about this the other day, actually. I don't think I mentioned it on a podcast, but we used to have a priest that used to come to our school and do weekly mass with the class. And he said to us once in junior school, when we were reciting the Lord's Prayer, we all just mumbled along with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And at the end of it, he noticed and he said, do you know if you're not thinking deeply about the words you're saying when you're saying Our Lord's Prayer or the Hail Mary, then there's no point in you doing those prayers. And I remember it stuck with me to this day. I remember thinking, he's got a point there. And even now, I've kind of trained myself where if I'm doing the Lord's Prayer or if I'm saying Hail Mary, I'm visualising what I'm saying. And it gets really weird when you say, like... what's the thing about bread? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm watching a bearded man come through the garden and go, here's your today's loaf, Mr. Eustace. Thank you, Jesus. But there's a belief that, you know, that's kind of what the difference there is exactly what I mean. So when you say...
You know what? Sometimes talking with you, it's like the verbal equivalent of like a knot in string, you know, rather than like it being an untangled knot that just goes like straight in parallel and you talk, It's like trying to keep up with a knot.
No, but this is what I mean. So when you're saying, well, maybe if you just say, I'm going to be a believer so that I do get into heaven, That's not belief, is
but
what
the
I'm
second
saying.
Because that we talking...
that's the equivalent of mumbling the Our Father.
I know, but the second point that we were just talking about is I said, no, but belief aside, because you're saying here that belief is one checkbox to get into heaven. I said, but belief aside, we were just talking then about good deed, doing a good deed for a wrong reason. I literally said, put belief aside for a minute.
I know, yeah, but I really wanted to say that story about
So it's like a knot, isn't it? So yeah. Tell me that if you're going back to a loop, because otherwise it makes no sense to me.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's very hard to keep track if you just go back to other things.
And this is why we'll try not to have 2 days off in the future, guys, because two collective days off, just so we could get a little bit of shut eye. Leads to these deep philosophical conversations, you see. Rebecca's thinking, it's not philosophical, you just don't understand the basics. But here's another thing about, you know, just to try and re-answer, I'm going back now, back in the loop. Just to try and re-answer the whole thing about you can't logically know that he was voted as a divine being and also believe in his divinity.
Yes.
You can, because my God, and I often say this, my God allows me to question things which aren't necessarily within the Catholic realm. My God, and it's a Catholic God, likes me, and he's allowed me to question these things.
Okay.
So, but also, one of my theories is that we had it in the quiz the other day, and I'll ask you the question again. Which tea is a Tibetan thought form which comes to life the more it's thought about?
Tulpa.
Tulpa.
Like Harvey is a tulpa.
Like Harvey the rabbit is a tulpa. So James I Stewart. Think it could be a theory. Well, it is a theory, because I'm saying it. That God, Christianity, didn't exist, maybe. It was voted on. Everything was, you know, all man-made. But if you believe in any way, shape or form in tulpas, you've got to think about, which is, a tulpa obviously is a ghost or a being that comes into existence due to somebody paying it thought and attention.
Through being thought about.
Through being thought about. In the case of religion...
Almost like a literal version of I think, therefore, it is.
Yeah, exactly. In the case of religion, you've got billions of people every day thinking about that religion. Now, I will even extrapolate that further and say that, all right, maybe none of the religions existed at the start. And even as a Catholic, I'm only meant to believe in one God. Who am I to say that there's not a Buddha? You know, there's not, shows my extent of other religions. but, you know, there's not deities in each and every religion that there is, because they're all tulpas.
Okay, yeah, fair point. So Christianity could, in theory, be a tulpa.
Mm-hmm.
But question for you on that. So if Christianity... So with tulpas, it's the act of thinking and believing that brings the thing to life, isn't
yeah.
it? But how can you... How does that work when you're talking about an event that happened in the past? Because the divinity of Christ and the whole, the resurrection and everything,
mm-hmm.
that's happened in the past, in
yeah.
theory. So, but how does collective thought, hundreds of years later, to thousands of years later, how does that change the physical act of what's happened in the past? If it was one thing to say, and now this man in front of me is divine, I could kind of get that a bit more, but how does it change the past?
Well, because you're obviously looking at the past, how humans see the past. We're talking about divine beings. No, but I kind of mean that anyway, you know, like without...
As opposed to your sight of the past,
no, but
is...
I will try and explain this. Because I'll do it in a massive injustice, but I will ask everybody to Google retrocausality in quantum mechanics. And they've basically found that a decision made now can affect things in the past.
What?
Yeah, they have, and they've scientifically, fundamentally proven this. And it's not like, and I'll be the first to say quantum mechanics can be tagged on as a catchy phrase to try and make the paranormal seem scientific. But, what is the name of the experiment? Delayed choice experiment. I think it's Wheeler's delayed choice experiment.
Right.
Google that and you will see scientifically they've proven that a decision made now can have an effect in the past. Retrocausality. And that's scientific. That's proven. You know, they don't know how it's done. There are theories now which say, maybe it's not affecting things in the past. Maybe. And the alternative they're given is even more mind-blowing, which I won't even try and tell you. But okay. They can't explain it. So the point of it being is, yes, if you experience time in the way we do, then it's another big question where we say, well, how can you explain this? Do you know what? It's an interesting week in Weird, which I may repeat in the main show on Saturday, is that in the New Scientist magazine this week, apparently there's been a weather balloon in the Arctic that they've had going up for the last like 6 or 7 years to try and pick up whatever, not weather, surprisingly. But it has been recording things. It's been recording this background noise over the last 6 years, And they were looking for something else. But anyway, because they didn't get the other thing they were looking for, they decided to look at this background noise over and over again. And the New Scientist article that I read yesterday basically says, and New Scientist isn't like 14 times.
Get to the point.
Okay. It basically says, this is providing evidence that there is another universe running parallel with ours that was created at the exact same time as the Big Bang. However, this universe runs back to front.
Ooh.
So time moves backwards in this other universe.
Right.
So like, you know, obviously better men than me. Einstein. If
you're gonna go there. Would people like be born old?
I don't know whether
it's get gradually younger. Like, is it a literal backwards?
I've no idea. But they say that, obviously, we only experience time through entropy, don't we? It's the decaying of things, which is how we experience time. Things get old, but it's not getting old. You know, it's a human construct, isn't it? Because it's actually just your cells stop generating. So that's how we see time.
Mm-hmm.
And we see time because the sun's going around and we're all getting further away from every other planet and we're drifting off into space and all that carry on. But that's all entropy. That's how we're measuring what we call time. But it's not actually time. You know, there's no such thing as time. They say it's possible that you could view time as like a meatloaf running along, and that we're viewing it from the start of the meatloaf to the end of the meatloaf. But we've only got the ability due to entropy to look at it going one way. But so if you cut through that slice of meatloaf, we may be at that particular slice at this time, but the whole meatloaf's still there.
Right.
And it always will be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we can only experience drilling right through that meatloaf in one direction. There might be another universe where
it drills the other way. Yeah, but if they're saying it's back to front, then it's just going back the other way. So
yeah, yeah.
So it would still be the same kind of line of...
It would be. So yeah, in theory, it should be old to new. I mean, like, do you know there's no...
So if you listen to that, you'd know how the universe ends.
Correct, yeah.
And
well, that's where that's then getting into your line, isn't it, of philosophicalness? Because you're then saying, well, it can't start at the same time as the Big Bang if everything's running in reverse. But... You know, here's an interesting fact. There is nothing, although there's lots of things, like they say that there's that, like, who's that English scientist? He talks like that. He was playing keyboards in The Shaman. Hello. What? Brian Cox.
Good God, I had no idea where you were going with that.
Well,
then.
He played keyboards in The Shaman, didn't you know that?
Anyway. It was D. Ream, wasn't it?
Yes, sorry, yeah. It was D. Ream, and do you know what I've just realised? Playing keyboards in The Shaman was something I said at one of my job. You know, we do two truths, one lie.
Right.
That was my lie.
Right, okay.
So anyway, he's come out and said ghosts can't exist due to the law of thermodynamics or whatever. And so lots of people, scientists especially, obviously, fair enough, will say that can't exist due to this law. Mm-hmm. That can't exist due to X, Y, Z. Yeah. Do you know, in the laws of physics, there is no law that says a broken window can't unshatter. Did you know that? But we know logically it's impossible.
That doesn't sound right.
It is right. The laws of physics allows for a shattered window.
What, unshatter unprompted?
No, but the
surely just the law of motion does, because that nothing, everything will remain in the same state until interfered with otherwise. So.
No, I mean.
So if all these pieces of glass are on the floor, there's no way they're getting picked up without someone or something doing the picking.
No, but apparently it's not against the laws of physics that. There's no reason within physics why that window can't go back together.
What, unprompted? There is. I've just
well,
said.
Well, yeah, no, not unprompted. You keep saying unprompted, but I'm
well,
saying...
no, like without someone doing it, or without someone or something doing it. There is the motion one.
Okay, we're going to have to pause proceedings. We're coming to the end of this podcast.
We're just at the end anyway.
No, but we can't leave it on this big disagreement.
Well, why don't you look into it overnight a little bit more?
We'll okay, yeah,
about
that's
tomorrow.
Fair enough, yeah. Okay. So we'll come back in tomorrow's We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. And either Kevin's going to be stunned or Becca's going to be stunned. Tune in tomorrow to find out which one of us is going to be stunned. Daddy, bye.
Bye-bye.